Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, if you're a believer, why don't you stand and let's give an expression of praise to our Lord and Savior this morning. Great to be in God's house. Yes, it is. You all look so nice today, so why don't you take 5 seconds and tell your neighbor that. Tell them, man, you look really nice today. So good to see you. Thank you. I know that you made someone's day by being here, and thank you. To all of our guests, thank you, because you made a grandma or grandpa or auntie or uncle or a mom or dad. You made someone's day, and I really do appreciate you being here. I know my family's made my day, and my dad and his precious wife, Claire, my sister, Sherry, my brother-in-law, Danny, and their children are here, and it's just, my heart is overwhelmed this morning. Thank you for being with us. Here's a little humor to just hopefully make you smile. A little kid was in church for the very first time, and as he watched the ushers pass the offering plates, when they neared the pew where he was sitting, the youngster piped up so that everyone could hear, and he said, "Don't pay for me, Daddy. I'm under 5. I will tell you that without reservation, I want the Holy Spirit to move in this house and to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I want to give just a little bit of direction so that you will have clarity. At the end of this service, I will ask for an altar call. And if you have to go, I understand. But if you feel something resonate in your spirit, then I want you to just take a minute to know that lunch can wait. But what God can do, He can do more in 5 minutes, if we let Him, than anyone else can in a lifetime. And so where I understand you have lunch and you have all of these activities for the day, my family does too. But it's very important that we don't just come to church to have church. And not just to proclaim the gospel, but to see a demonstration of the Spirit of Almighty God. And so don't worry about the babies. If they're crying, they're not going to bother me, not going to stop me from preaching. We're just going to keep going. I just need about 30, 35 minutes of your time. Are you good with that? Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless all of you once again. Thank you. You can be seated. I believe that one of the most important things that we have to know, and that is, what is our purpose? I believe one of the most important things for all of us to know is, what is my purpose? And if I were to hold up before you some type of mechanical object that you had never seen before in your entire life, never ever seen it, and I would say, tell me what this is. Well, we could speculate what it is. We could guess what it is. We could pretend that we knew what it was. But the fact of the matter is, if I held up some type of mechanical object and you had never seen it before in your life, the two ways that you could know what this mechanical object is number one, you could talk to the inventor and ask him, what is the purpose? Or two, you could go to the owner's manual and read the owner's manual and find out what is the purpose of this particular mechanical object that I would be holding up. Are you with me? And the same, brothers and sisters, is true for all of our lives. The only way that we're going to truly know our purpose is A, talk to the Creator who created us, or B, read the owner's manual. Because you were made by God and you were made for God. And if you and I don't get that, then can I tell you, life really doesn't make sense. I want to talk to someone this morning and just remind all of us, we were created for more than just to wake up in the morning, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to our kids' sports games, earn a living, hopefully retire, and then die. We were created for more than that, because that type of life is just existing. That's not really living. But I read in John 10 and chapter 10 where the scripture says, Jesus speaking, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There's another translation that says, I have come that you may have life to the full or to the fullest. God doesn't want us to just survive. God wants us to thrive. Can I get a witness? I believe with all of my heart that we were created for more than just the good life. We were created for more than just success. We were created for more than just to survive and just to go through another day and another week. We were really made for significance. And the only way that you're going to understand your significance is when you realize that God and God alone gives life purpose. Brothers and sisters, until you know Christ, life can seem petty, and life can really at times seem pointless. But when you come to know Christ, one of the great exchanges that He gives us is He takes away the petty life, the pointless life, and He gives us a life of purpose. Can I get a witness this morning? You say, well, Pastor, what does all of that have to do with Easter? Well, let me show you. Up on the screen, they're going to put up 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. This is what it says. And He died for all. That means everyone in here. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live to what? Come on, you little church mice. That was weak. Should no longer live unto what? Themselves, but for Him who died for them and did what? And He rose again. What does that mean, Pastor? Here's what it means. It means that God died so that you would do more than just live for yourself. I'm going to say this as gently as I can, but if you're only living for yourself, you're living in a very small, shallow world. God wants you to live for something bigger than yourself. One of the greatest things that any of us can give ourselves to is the great kingdom of God. And forget ourselves and give of ourselves to others. Does that make sense? So yes, you can look good, and you do. You honestly look good this morning. You look great. You can feel good. You can have the goods. And there's really nothing wrong with any of that. But you know what? I've had the privilege to talk to some fairly well-off people in my life. And I can tell you, after talking to some fairly wealthy people, when you really get to talking to them, you know what? They have all of those things, and they still feel frustrated, and they still feel empty, and they still have told me, you know what, Pastor, I have a nagging feeling that there's really more to life than just things. Here's what I want everyone to understand. Until, brothers and sisters, until you know Christ, you're not going to really know your purpose. Because life is more than a good retirement. Life is about knowing Him and living for Him and giving yourself to Him. Because without purpose, your life can seem petty and it can seem pointless. But God says we find life and purpose through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing God gives us. Now let me give you a second thing. He gives us great power. Everybody say great power. If you come to know Him, He gives you purpose. The second thing He gives you is great power. Great power for our problems. See, there's not a greater power ever known to man than the power of raising oneself from the dead. That's pretty powerful. In fact, that's the most powerful event that has ever happened in history. Do you understand the reason why we have B.C. and A.D.? You get it, right? B.C. before Christ, A.D. after death. Jesus split them in two from His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And He forever changed even the time of history. It was the most powerful event that has ever happened. And so I want you to look up on the screen. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Now, this is a different translation, but I just don't want you to get jaded by the King James Version. Here's what it says. I pray that you begin to understand how incredibly great God's power is to help those who believe in Him. It is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Now you say, wait just a minute. Hold the horses, Pastor. Time out. Are you saying that that same power that brought life unto Jesus and raised Him from the dead is available in my everyday life? Yes, that is exactly what I am saying. The resurrection, ladies and gentlemen, it comes with a promise. And here's the promise. Look on the screen, 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. And God hath both raised up Jesus and will also, everybody say also. He will also raise us up by His power. The only reason that you and I have a hope of one day getting out of the grave is because Jesus did it first. And if Jesus don't do it, we're not coming out of that grave. But the same power that resurrected Jesus is alive in you if you are a believer in Christ. And the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is also going to raise us up. Now I want to ask you a question. Where do you need resurrection power this morning? Let me say it this way. What do you feel right now in your life, if you were to identify it, it feels like that something in your life is dying, is dead, or it's dying on the vine. Where is that? Maybe it's in your career. and you just, some of you here this morning, you just feel like, you know what? I thought that I would be way further down the road than what I am. And I'm just very disappointed in my career. Can I tell you that God can give you a resurrection in that area? Can I get a witness? Some of you need a resurrection in your dreams. You were young and now life's kind of passed you by and you was hoping to be this or you was hoping to do that and you was hoping to reach this goal and you still haven't reached it, and just now it's kind of like there's very little motivation and you don't really have, you know, big dreams anymore. Can I just encourage you that maybe that's an area that you need resurrection. You need it in your dreams. In a crowd this size, some of you have probably had a broken heart. And I sincerely pray for this community, and I have prayed for you this morning. I may not know your name if you're a guest, but I'm gonna just tell you, I woke up this morning, I was up early, and I was praying for everyone that would be in this house. Because if you've had a broken heart, a doctor can't fix that. You need resurrection, because Jesus said, I've come to heal the broken in hearted. Some of you need a resurrection in your marriage. If you were to get honest this morning and be real honest, your marriage, some of you are in a dead marriage. You may still be, you know, married, you still may be living together, but there's no life, there's no spark, there's no love, and you need a resurrection in that marriage. You see, here's the difference, brothers and sisters. Here is the difference between human beings and God. I want you to get this, lean in. Human beings can resuscitate, but only God can resurrect. Oh no, you didn't get that. Here's what I want to tell you. If you know CPR, then guess what? You can help somebody if their heart stops. You can go and you can help them. If your heart has stopped for 2 minutes or 3 minutes or 4 minutes and you know CPR, then you can get down and you can do that and you can resuscitate them. But when you have been dead for 3 days, and you have been in a tomb for 3 days, you need more than resuscitation. You need resurrection. And guess what? God says, I have that kind of power. I can do more than resuscitate you. I can resurrect you. Every area. Dear Lord, I don't know who I'm preaching to. But every area in your life, God doesn't come in and resuscitate it. God can resurrect it. God can breathe new life into it. Come on, somebody. Some of you, if you were to get honest, some of you, even in this house this morning, you just feel like, you know, that I have failed, Pastor, just like of giving up. And if we had the time and the technology, we could put an X-ray machine to your mind and it would show, you know what, right now, you're pretty desperate. You're lonely. Maybe you feel like, I've just given up on my dreams, given up on my marriage, given up on my health. Maybe you even feel like giving up on life. Can I tell you, please don't do that. In all sincerity, I believe that God brought every one of us here today and that none of us are an accident, and God wants to say something to each and every one of you. Are you ready for it? You ready? I believe here is what the Lord wants to say to this congregation. Don't give up. Look up. Don't give up. Look up. The answer is not to quit. Please let me encourage you this morning. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, then he can raise a dead marriage. And if God can raise a dead Jesus, he can raise a dead friendship. And if God can raise a dead Jesus, he can raise a dead career. And if God can raise a dead Jesus, he can raise your dead dreams. And if God can raise any part of your life that is dying on the vine, then the God I serve can step into any situation and bring resurrection power to it. Let me encourage you today. God is not here to resuscitate you. God is here to resurrect whatever dead thing is in your life. But all of us, including myself, every one of us, all of us can go through life totally unplugged. And if you're unplugged from God's power, you'll never know God's purpose. If you're unplugged from God's power, you will never know God's purpose. This toaster, brothers and sisters, is totally worthless, really. It has no intrinsic value unless it's plugged up. If it's not plugged up, then it is not being used for its purpose. Nobody buys a toaster, especially a lady, and puts it on a shelf and wants everybody to see. Look how beautiful my toaster is. If you had a toaster on your shelf with all of your pretty whatnots, people would think you lost your mind. You know why? Because that really has no intrinsic value in and of itself. Its only purpose is to be plugged in and provide toast. If you have a vacuum cleaner, you don't put a vacuum cleaner on the shelf and say, "Y'all look at my rainbow. That's fine. That's a fine rainbow vacuum cleaner right there." You can tell how old I am by saying rainbow, can't you? They don't probably don't even sell those things anymore. Nobody puts a vacuum cleaner up on a shelf, right? Because its only value is when it's plugged in. Nobody puts a blender up on a shelf in their house and says, "Look at this. This is my beautiful blender." No, its only value is when it's plugged in. Brothers and sisters, if you're not plugged in to the power of God, then you may look pretty, you may look good and have the goods, but you're missing out on the whole purpose of why God created you. Are you with me? God wants you plugged in to his power. Why? Because you can't make it on your own. As you get older, and I'm talking physically here, as you get older, and I'm finding that out, your energy starts getting less and less. But I don't believe God wants us walking around even physically tired. So I'm just telling God again, "God, I need your supernatural strength. I need your energy throughout my day. I'm plugged in to the very source that raised Christ from the dead." Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you, if you're lacking energy, physical energy, say, "God, plug me in again and restore me in the name of the Lord." You say, "Pastor, I don't know about that." Well, check this out. Here's what Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 says up on the screen. God gives power to the weak. Are you feeling weak? God gives power to you. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. You say, "All right, wait just a minute, Pastor. Calm down. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm weak. I don't feel any power." Well, let me explain how you get that power. You get it through faith. You get it through trust. You get it through believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again. You get it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that one of the many reasons why Jesus died on the cross was to give you power over sin, power over sickness, and power over diseases? And that when Jesus was hanging on the cross for all of us and he shouted out, "It is finished," what it meant was this, that divine justice was satisfied. That's what it meant. It meant that redemption was paid. It meant that all of our sins, past, present, and future, were already forgiven. It meant that peace between God and man was achieved because there's one mediator. Moses is no longer our mediator.
but there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus mediated on our behalf so that God is no longer angry at us. Well, if you got to go, you can go, but I need a few more minutes. I got hope for you today. I got hope for someone. I want to tell you, God is not angry with you. I know what religion says. Religion says God's just waiting on you to mess up. No, he's not. Why? We were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Before you were ever a twinkle in your mama's eye, Christ had already died to give you a way out of a powerless life, of a hopeless life. He came to forgive our sins, to heal our bodies, to redeem us from destruction. Come on, give God 5 seconds of your best praise. You say, well, Pastor, that all sounds good, but I don't have that. Well, I want to say this again as seriously and as gently as I can. You know what? We can complain to God. We can complain to God about what we don't have. But hang on, tighten your seatbelt. I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. God is not moved by our complaints. God is not moved by our whining. Y'all with me? God is not moved by our griping, but the moment we put our trust in him, God moves. The Bible says he's looking across the whole earth. He's looking across the whole earth. He's looking to see who is going to move and trust him. And when he finds that person, he's saying, there I am. I'm with you. You have my power. You carry my name. This is why I called you, so that you could carry out the ministry that I started in the earth. The moment, ladies and gentlemen, that you step out in faith, then God moves. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, King James Version. This is what it says. According to your faith. According to your faith. Say your faith. According to your faith, so be it unto you. You say, how do I know that? When that man, that centurion, had his little boy and he was sick, you know what? He just come to Jesus and he says, I know, God, if you just speak the word. If you'll just speak the word. You don't need to come to my house. Why? Because there was trust in that, in Jesus. There was trust in him. He said, if you'll just speak the word, I know that my boy will be healed. That's according to your faith. That was the level of his faith. God spoke the word. They went back home. They said, about what time was the boy healed? They said, about this time. And they remembered that was about the same time that Jesus had spoken it. I don't know what you need today, but I'm telling you, before you leave this house, you ought to step out in faith and say, God, I need a fresh purpose. I need fresh power. I need resurrection in my life. I need something that I cannot give myself. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise in this house. You say, but Pastor, that all sounds good, but really, you don't know what I'm facing right now. You're right. I don't. I honestly don't. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know Luke 18 and 27. I do know this. Here's what it says. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Can I encourage you this morning? What may look like a dead end in your life is a prime time for a resurrection. Because when everybody else steps out, he's really good at stepping in. And when the doctors say, well, we've done all we know to do, Dr. Jesus says, I got something left to do. I got one more move. I know what to do. Come on, somebody. You know what looks like that you're just, I'm just not going to be able to overcome this, Pastor. Can I tell you that Jesus overcame so that you wouldn't have to be overwhelmed? And God, my daddy has said this so many times. I've heard my daddy, my sweet daddy who's here this morning, I've heard him say this all my life. God can do more for you in 5 seconds than anybody else can in a lifetime. You say, but Pastor, you don't know my problem. I don't, but I know God that can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Talked about two things, and I'm going to wrap this up. Number one of the great exchanges is God gives our life purpose. Okay? Then the second great exchange that he gives us, and that is he gives us great power for our problems. Now, briefly, let me talk to you about the third. He gives us a great place. You do understand that everything you have and everything you see right now is temporal. Are you with me? But here's what we learn from the resurrection of Jesus. We learn that there's more to life than the here and now. We learn that death is not the end. One day, all of our hearts are going to stop beating. And that's going to be the end of our body. But that's not going to be the end of us. See, we were made to live forever. And God says, I have proven that there is life after death by raising my only begotten son. Did you know that there are five times before his death that Jesus in different forms predicted that he was going to rise from the dead? Five different times. So I think that Jesus knows more about the afterlife than anyone else in here. And you know what? That ought to give us great hope. Why? Because your body may expire, but your spirit doesn't. Because death is not the end. Say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, look at John chapter 11, verse 25. Here's what Jesus says. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And it goes on to say this, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So how do we get eternal life? We don't get it by just doing good. We don't get eternal life just by going to church. We don't get it by just promising, I'm going to promise you, Pastor, that I'm going to be perfect. We don't get eternal life by giving a lot of money to the poor or to missions. All of those are good things. We should do all of that. But that won't save us. In fact, brothers and sisters, to all of our sweet guests, you and I cannot save ourselves. If we could save ourselves, we wouldn't need a Savior. If good works could save us, then we would just do good works and that would save us. But we can't. That's why Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and said, we all got to repent. And he wants to fill us with that power, that Holy Ghost power that raised him from the dead. And then we're baptized in his name. We can carry on the works of Jesus so that when we lay hands on the sick, we're not doing it in our name because we don't have any power in ourselves. We do it in the name of Jesus, that name that is given. It's the only name given whereby we must be saved. Does that make sense? So now let me summarize this. We're never going to find ultimate hope in anything that we can lose. Stay with me. Don't check out. We're never, N-E-V-E-R, going to find hope in anything we can lose. What do you mean by that? Well, you can lose your bank account. Okay? You can lose a spouse. You can lose a job. You can lose a car. You can lose your health. You can lose your mind. If you put your hope in your good looks, well, you've lost them already. That boat's already sailed. I'm sorry to tell you. You can put your hope in your job. It can be here today, gone tomorrow. You can put your hope in a person and just hope that they won't disappoint you. But let me tell you something, they will. The only person that will not disappoint you is Jesus. And you and I have to put our hope in something or someone that can never, never be taken away. And that is in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:6 says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Friends come and go, but Jesus comes and stays. Brothers and sisters, I know the American economy is doing good right now, but it can fall out tomorrow. But Jesus is still going to stay. And you need to put your hope and anchor your soul into something that's not here today and gone tomorrow. I'm hurrying. Hope is not a product. Hope is not a program. Hope is not a pill. Hope is a person. And there's only one person that you can put your hope in, and that is in Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. And since Jesus raised himself from the dead, and we know that there is life after death, here's what we have to look forward to. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 6. Says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What is that saying, Pastor? Well, the Bible tells us because of the resurrection, we have hope. If Jesus hadn't got up on the third day, you and I, we might as well not even meet. Because our faith would just be a farce. But because Jesus got up, it means that he's going to give us the power to get up. I want you to listen very closely to what I'm about to tell you this morning. This is not a negative statement, it's just simply true. If you've lived past the age of probably 13, you're going to have loss in your life. You say, well, Pastor, that's not very hopeful. Well, here's what I know. We've all lived long enough that there's no life without loss. And there's no loss without pain. And there's no pain without grief. And we all go through problems in life. So as someone who loves you, as your pastor, as your friend, as a member of this community, it's my job to help every one of us get ready for this kind of stuff. Listen very closely this morning. The way we live with hope in the middle of our pain is to enlarge our perspective. And it's to begin to change our viewpoint and get our eyes off of what's happening right here, right now, and begin to live for eternity. Because life on earth is short. You may get 60 years, you may get 80, you may get all the way to 100, but that is nothing compared to the billions and billions of years that we're going to spend with Jesus in eternity. And so here's what my Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 4:18. This is the Living Bible. Here it is. So we don't focus on the troubles we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't see yet. For the troubles that we see now are temporary. But the joy or the joys that will come will last forever. Here's what I'm saying. Whether you make it to 50 or whether you make it to 100, the trouble we have during those years is nothing compared to the millions and billions of years that we're going to have with Jesus in eternity. So can I encourage you? Don't magnify your problem. Magnify the problem solver. Don't get so caught up in the here and now that you forget this is just temporal. Where I'm going is eternal. Would you stand with me this morning? If you don't have to leave, don't. But if you do, we understand. You say, okay, Pastor, I've listened to you. I've tuned in. How do I get this great purpose in my life? How do I get this great power? And how do I get this great place called heaven for all of eternity? Well, I want to tell you that in just a minute. But before I tell you that, I want to just tell you a true story. There was this dad, had a son. And he told the young man, he said, look, he said, there's a carnival in town. And he said, I'll take you and three of your closest friends to this carnival. And that'll be your birthday gift. How does that sound? Son said, that sounds great. Let's do it. That's what they did. Went to the carnival. The dad bought a roll of tickets. The son and his three friends, they went to the first ride, and the dad gave the son a ticket, free ticket, and gave the other three guests, his friends, ticket. Did that the first ride, did that the second, did that the third. This is a true story. The dad said on about the seventh ride, he handed out a ticket to his son, handed out a ticket to his three friends, and then there was another little hand holding out his hand for a ticket. The daddy said, he looked down at that and said, who are you? He said, well, he said, I'm your son's new best friend. And your son told me that if I would come to my daddy, my father, that if I am your son's friend, you would give me a ticket. True story. What do you think happened? He gave him a ticket. What else you think happened? He stayed with them all the rest of the day. I don't know who you are this morning. Maybe we've never met. But I can tell you this. Your heavenly Father has a free ticket. But the only way you get it is you got to be a friend of Jesus Christ. I know I've been long-winded this morning, but let me just preach to you. Give me a couple of more minutes. You can't get there through Buddha. You can't get there through Allah. You can't get there through Hare Krishna. There's only one way. And he said, I am not a way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. I'm not trying to make it hard for anybody, but I'm just telling you, according to this scripture right here, you got to be a friend of Christ if you're going to get a ticket into heaven. You can't do it because you're good enough, pretty enough, make enough money enough. None of those things will get you there. But what will? Here's what will. If we just simply say, God, forgive me. I know I've messed up. I know I hadn't done it right. You know why you can't make heaven? Why I can't make heaven by ourselves? Because none of us are perfect enough, and heaven's a perfect place. And if you went without forgiveness of sins, you'd mess heaven up, and I would too. That's why none of us can get in there without saying, God, Lord, I just come to you. I need your grace. I need you to forgive me of my sins. And you know what? God, by the way, this is what I look like if I'm not plugged into your power. So I need the power of the Holy Spirit to help me to do what only I can do, but I can't do it by myself. I got to have your Spirit doing it through me. And then when I get that purpose and I get that power, then guess what I get? I also get that place. And he said, I go to heaven and I'm going to prepare for you a lot of mansions. And I don't know who wrote this song, just build me a shack in the corner of Glory Land. But if I could find them, I'd thump their head. Because I'm going to tell you something. God hadn't built you a shack, sweetheart. He's got a mansion prepared for you. And this is what Paul says, and I'm trying to hurry, but Paul says, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it even entered the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. If you've got a wild imagination and you even think that you know how great heaven is, you hadn't even had a thought of how great it is. You say, how do I get there? How do I get this purpose? How do I get this power? How do I get this place in heaven? Well, first of all, you just simply had to ask God to forgive you. And then you say, Lord, I know that I can't lift myself off the ground without the power of the Holy Ghost. I need that power. And then I get baptized in that name so I can go on and carry out the works that he started. Would you bow your head? I want to pray with you. Jesus, your spirit is in this house. And Lord, I just believe that there are some people that want to know God's purpose for our life. I believe there's some people here this morning that want to spend the rest of their life learning it and fulfilling it. They want to trust in your power. They want to get plugged in starting today. And they want to stop living on their own power and start living in your power. God, we know that you're greater than any problem that we may face in our career, in our friendships, in our marriage, on our job. You're greater than any of that. And we also know, Lord, that we want a home in heaven. So thank you, God, for dying for us. Thank you for loving us even before we were even born, even before we were even created. God, you had already died for us and loved us. And so this morning, I just believe that there are some people that want to plug into your power, and they want to ask you, God, would you forgive me of all my sins? And would you fill me with this power? I want to be your friend, and I want to have a home in eternity. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Now look, if you meant what I just prayed, and you sincerely meant that, I want you, as they begin to sing, I just want you, if you want to, here's how I want to say this. If you want to go to heaven, and you truly want to go to heaven, I want you to just step out from where you are, and I want you to come up to the front. If you want to go to heaven, I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you to come up to the front. We've got time. Your meal, your roast will wait, but God is talking to somebody right here, right now. If you want to go to heaven, and you want to spend eternity with Christ, I want you to step out from where you are right now.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.